March 10th. I wouldn't want to bet on anything. It's 4 to 5 in the afternoon, and we have a results-based budgeting workshop this afternoon on fish and game habitat and restoration division. And key campaign, I know that. Tomorrow is what I was going to say. Tomorrow morning at 8:15 we do the key campaign. At 9:30 we have a whole list of bills, and then tomorrow afternoon at 4:30 are the Alaska State Troopers at 4:30. So, fish and game this afternoon, and for the record, at the table are Senators Pierce and Sharp, along with Senator Donnelly, Senator Torgerson, Senator Adams, and Senator Phillips. And Senator Sharp, you have the floor.
Thank you. Jeff, introduce yourself.
For the record, my name is Janet Kowalski, and I'm the director of the Habitat and Restoration Division for Fish and Game.
And I'm Kevin Brooks, director of Administrative Services for Fish and Game.
Madam Chairman, we've had two previous meetings. One with staff, working with the other day with the Senator Hoffman and myself, and a representative from Senator Mackey's office, going through here. The reason we picked habitat permitting is because it's something we've tried to hold harmless and make sure that they maintain a semblance of effectiveness. They are mandated by Title 16 statutes to do certain things, and a lot of resource development and development for recreation depends on they're doing their job and having the proper funding to do it. Their mission consists of three basic items, which is listed here, and I'll let Janet go through it. Start with the mission, if you would, and we'll go through the three items that are mandated that you do have to do.
Thanks. The Title 16 statutes provide for three separate permit programs that the Division of Habitat and Restoration administers. Two of those relate to fish, and the third relates to the state refuges and sanctuaries that are designated by the legislature. The two fish permit programs that we have, the first is called the Fish Passage Permit. It's Section 840 of the Title 16 statutes, and this provides for both resident and anadromous fish passage in water bodies. If someone's going to undertake a construction project, the law requires that they maintain proper fish passage both upstream and downstream from the project. The second fish permit that we administer is the largest part of our program. That's the anadromous fish habitat permit. The statute requires that we first identify all anadromous streams used for spawning, rearing, and migration. Primarily salmon is the major species that's anadromous. It's a type of fish that has a life cycle in both fresh and marine water.
Okay.
Yeah. So salmon, steelhead trout, some species of Dolly Varden, but primarily it's salmon.
Only snowish and southeast can that find that.
Shorthand is salmon. So the salmon habitat permit also relates to construction. Any developer that wants to undertake construction below ordinary high water in a water body that's been identified in our catalog is required to get a permit from the division in order to maintain both fish habitat and fish passage. Then the third permit we administer is our refuges and sanctuaries permit. The legislature has designated 22 of these around the state, and in order to undertake activities on these, folks come to the division and apply for a refuge permit. We had a little anomaly this year. We had quite a few more than we had last year, and it was just a routine batch. And we have a number of cabins that existed on some of the refuges prior to the legislature designating these areas for protection. We grandfathered those cabins in, and so there was an unusual jump in this year's number.
Senator Phillips.
Maybe getting off the beaten path here a little bit, but how does this fit with the Exxon Valdez money?
Not at all, actually. The Habitat and Restoration Division has four budgetary components, and that's a completely separate one.
Budget-wise, right?
Right, but also in terms of in programmatic activities, it's not related. If someone wanted to use Exxon Valdez money to construct something, they would have to then apply for a permit. So, for example, I know on the Kenai there's some boardwalks and some fishing docks being built, and those projects have to come in and go through the permit process.
Which has nothing to do with that other than permit, right?
The division under is.
I guess what I'm getting. Let's use the bird sanctuary, whatever they called it down there.
Don't be picking on my birds.
I mean, how would you be involved with something like that?
The
103 acres down in Homer, Exxon Valdez, Governor let it go.
The trustee office funds about four positions in my division, and they do essentially a couple of things, one of which is land acquisition. So the trustee council, when they're looking at a parcel, they have regularly, if it's related to habitat, for example, they would have my staff work on the appraisal process and also the NEPA process. They're required to go through the NEPA process to buy something. So we would do that.
You are involved with it.
We are.
Okay. And if I could follow up on that too, Senator Phillips, you know, several years ago when the department did some downsizing, we had nine divisions going to six, and so that OCR division, oil spill recovery, was a whole separate division that we merged into a single one under one director. So part of a merger, you know, there it was the closest fit, and you know the program was starting into a, you know, kind of that planned step down, so it was moved administratively in. But as Janet stated, you know, some of the permitting functions, while there's some overlap for projects, it's not a day-to-day interaction necessarily.
Where's the funding come for the division?
The division overall does have four components, and actually the largest source of money is EVO's funds that mostly we pass through. We get them briefly and then move them somewhere else. About roughly 50% of our budget is general funds, and those are primarily spent in the component that's before you today in permitting. The other 50% of our funding comes from a variety of sources. We get some fish and game funds, get quite a bit of federal funds and federal aid funds, and we also receive a significant amount of direct industry receipts under program receipts.
What industry?
The hard rock mining, the oil and gas industry, the hydro industry.
Does the commercial fish industry pay? I see you've got fish and game funds. That means that's from sport fish dollars. Is there any money come in here for commercial sources?
Senator, we've been getting an RSA from the Comfish Division for the past several years, roughly $100,000, and we try to use that money in conjunction with fish and game funds for those projects that benefit both sport and commercial users.
How much fish and game funds dollars
are I can probably tell you pretty quickly here. We have in our FY99 request, in the Title 16 component, we have $310,000. In our Habitat component, we have $271,000. And then in our Special Projects component, which would be our Access Project, we have $134,000.
So you've got about $100,000 in Comfish dollars, but you've got almost $700,000 in sport fish dollars going into this.
That's correct.
Why is that a fair mix?
Well, I believe that the commercial fishing industry would say that the $2 million in general funds that we receive is generated by their industry.
Well, how much?
What? How is that?
Maybe if I could. Senator, one of the things that the department has published over the last several years is a revenue and expenditure report. And so we have a lot of, from the commercial fishing industry, fish landing taxes and different things that generate a certain amount of revenue to the state general fund. And then we contrast that with the department's expenditures. And so what we have shown, and I can provide the report to your office, and you may have some prior copies of that, is that the amount of general fund revenue coming in through various fishery and landing taxes far surpasses the amount that the department is spending for, and actually goes on to pay for other resource-related expenditures of government, you know, that are maybe occurring in the Department of Law or the governor's office, that kind of thing. So that's been a message that we've consistently tried to portray, is that there is a fair amount of revenue generated through those fisheries and various taxes assessed upon them.
Okay, can you give me a copy of that?
Yeah, most certainly. I'll have one over to you in the morning.
You said that these amounts were in the FY99 request, but what was the actual amount of fish and game funds received last year? I don't recall being anywhere near this amount of money.
We weren't. You're correct, Senator. The governor's budget did provide an increment for us. The total fish and game funds, let's see.
250.
Yeah.
Title 16?
The majority of it is in Title 16. We have a small amount for region, let's see, there's a small amount, $25,000, for Region 1 and Habitat for Tonga Stream crossings, and the rest is in Title 16.
Not much last year. You know, I can't let it go by on the general funds that commercial fish generates. If that's the case, then we would say the oil industry is entitled to free access without paying anything for all their permitting. Because they, I mean, look at all the money they contribute to the general fund.
That's a point well taken. We don't mean to imply that, you know, there's any kind of dedication of those funds.
I think we probably charge them for a lot of the work that we do for the oil company. So, and that don't wash with me. General funds is general funds.
That's right.
Other than that, we're getting into digressing into dollars, and we want to just address the program review. State of the game, the co-chair has not authorized me to get into dollars this time, other than for informational purposes.
I'm surprised. I'm just almost ready to leave the table.
Pick up Homer. Okay, down into the we got the activities. Three basic activities. Senator Phillips got some information. You might want to follow up later on people involved in buying land. Okay, that's a money situation we'll get involved in later.
Can I ask an activities question? Thank you. I think one of the frustrations that legislators have, or at least think they have, about Habitat stems from a suspicion, because of some of the stories we've heard from constituents over the years, that depending upon who in Habitat one is talking to, one may find themselves required to do different things for restoration or to get permits. What sort of system do you have in the department to attempt to make sure that you are treating permittees equally across the state? And I understand that there are special situations where special things may be called for, but, you know, on the same river, on the same side of the same river within a couple hundred feet of each other, we've heard of times where the Habitat Division couldn't quite make up their minds what they wanted done.
I appreciate the question, Senator, and there are actually a couple of steps that we've taken to address inconsistencies between regions. Probably the primary step that we've taken is to identify statewide leads by area of industry. For example, Region 3, my Fairbanks office, has the lead on all hard rock mining projects, and so they review the work in Southeast and South Central Habitat Division. For urban development, my Region 2, South Central, has the lead. For transportation, DOT projects, road crossings, again, my Fairbanks region has the lead on that. And for forestry activities, my Southeast region has the lead on that. That's new. We hadn't done that in prior years, and we had discovered that, indeed, there were times when two different regions would approach a project differently.
What about even within the same region?
I'm not aware of any of those. I'm sure you. It sounds like you have a specific example in mind, but we recently in Region 1 reorganized slightly and put someone in charge of all permitting so that all projects would be reviewed, and Region 2 also has the supervisor in charge of permitting. Region 3, we had, through the RIP program, a reduction in force. They're such a small group, and they're all in the same office, that I think the communication is probably easier up there.
Looking at the chart here that shows the number of permits by type and by region, somewhere, I guess we discussed others in the subcommittee. And that the average time lag on getting permits worked was 20 days.
It's 20 days, Senator.
And that's down considerably over several years ago.
Almost barter government.
No more money.
They work faster.
No, Senator, if I could real briefly, I don't know if all of you have this in your packet, I'd be happy to provide it, but our permit summary identifies the last 3 years. And looking at the cover page of that, the amount of days per permit actually has gone up in the last 2 years. The number of permits we're processing has gone up. And so if you look at how we've coped with that, we have a category called other agency reviews. For example, DNR will ask us to look at something because their statute requires them to consult with Fish and Game. Those have gone down as the number of permits and the average processing time has gone up. So we've prioritized the agency's Title 16 program.
The measurement areas that we've proposed after discussion is tied right to the number of permits and the percentage that were processed, and you can tie that by the three categories, and you can tie that right back to the chart to see what kind of volumes we're talking about and which regions of the state. There's three regions, 1, 2, and 3, and attached to the chart is a map of where those regions are geographically, because I didn't even know that what region Fairbanks is in until. The activity I know in our interior region is primarily on stream crossings for logging, winter crossings as far as passage permits and so forth, temporary ones, a lot of them, and habitat permits for various construction projects or subdivisions. So. The whole mechanism of mission and activities and performance measures is tied to the 1, 2, and 3 items that they're charged to do. Over the years, without looking back at it, I've had this budget now for at least three years and maybe four. We've pretty well held the line on general fund funding. We've encouraged the division to go forward and on any special projects to come up with what the extra cost would be for special projects and do the work for private industry as requested by private industry. And in a lot of cases, we've asked them right in the budget bill to go through LBNA to get that passed through as far as authorization. Any questions on mission activities or performance measures? They are a little bit on the wordy side, but with three distinct categories, I think we want to measure how they do on each one of those, which is only fair. And I think the data schedule speaks for itself as a pretty good tool, at least to zero in on activity and percentage completion. Anyone have anything they would like to add or question on the program review at this time? I think Chuck did a good job on getting to this point. I understand a lot better. I think the committee members will too as we focus in on it. Thank you for working with us on it, and we look forward to working with you on your budget and getting back into the measurements and performance statistics next year.
Thank you, Senator.
No, great job.
I just got to put in
a few numbers in. Got my heart pumping. I like that.
Thank you for your efforts. You
catch more fish.
That's all I have, Madam Chair.
Okay, tomorrow morning at 8:15, key campaign. At 9:30, there's a long list of bills. They're kind of backed up a little bit, I think. And tomorrow evening at 4:30, state troopers. Anything else to come before the committee? That we're adjourned.